Good morning. I'd like to tell you a little about camp. Loretta and I came back Friday from 2 weeks. I know that some came after the first week, and maybe you've heard something about it, but we had 2 good weeks of Sunshine Camp. I think there were 70-some campers the first week and 60-some the second week, so it was a full camp. The staff, those who were not counselors, had to eat out under a shelter because there was not room in the dining room for everybody. And the chapel was, especially at night when all the staff came in, was filled up. And so we did do the life of Joseph for 2 weeks. We're going to be doing it again starting August the 6th at Mountaintop for our Camp Jubilee here in North Carolina. But we had the group that came from Reidsville, we had 2 girls from First Baptist Church that went as counselors. We had 2 fellows from down at Pittsburgh that went as counselors. And we had the two of the Beebe children that went as counselors. And then we had 6 from here at the chapel that went. So we had a good representation from this chapel. But I'm glad it's reaching out to some other churches or are getting involved with it. So they're finding out about the camp. Loretta and I have been going there for over 20 years. But we did the life of Joseph, and you've heard about people having many hats. Well, we had many coats. And so we had 7 chapels, and each chapel we had a different coat that Joseph wore. And we told them about this, and what was amazing to us and to the staff there of the mission, those campers just sat and they listened. You didn't hear, you could have heard a pin drop during the chapel time. So that was an answer to prayer. So we just want to thank you all for praying for us as we were there. One fellow that has been there as a counselor all this summer was a student from Virginia Tech. And this fellow was to be in that classroom building that day for a class, and he overslept. And so he was not there when the shooting took place, but he was one of the counselors that we had at camp. We're going to be looking at our next word of our Christian faith. We've looked at 6 so far. We're going to be looking at the word regeneration today, which is the word of life. But just to go back and go over the ones that we have already covered, we talked about salvation, the word of power. We talked about substitution, the word of grace. Propitiation, the word of satisfaction. Reconciliation, the word of peace. Redemption, the word of freedom. And the last one we covered was justification, the word of assurance. It's said of George Whitefield that he preached over 300 times on John chapter 3, verse 3. The verse says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They say that whenever someone would ask Whitefield why he preached on that verse so many times, he would respond with regeneration, essential of gospel. Regeneration is essential for the gospel. It's the word of life. Now, I have a generator at home that we bought a year or so ago from my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, and I haven't had that generator cranked up yet. I did try one time. It had gas in it, and I got all that out because I didn't know how long the gas had been in there, and I put some gas in, and I tried to get it started, and it wouldn't start. You see, my brother-in-law had that generator operating at one time. And when that generator works, it causes lights to burn, or it'll keep a freezer going when the power's out. But that generator just sitting there has become degenerate. It's not doing anything. It's just sitting there. And if I can get it started back up again, it will be regenerated. See, Lehman Strauss, I remember him giving that about regeneration. He said, God created man, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man was generated. He received life. Well, then Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they ate of that one tree that God told Adam not to eat of. And what did God tell him? He said that the day that you eat of that, you will surely die. Now, Satan used that to deceive Eve and said, you know you will not surely die. The very moment they ate of that tree, they became degenerated. They died spiritually. And so they were in need of regeneration. Every one of us was born into this world degenerate. It says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It says in Romans 3:10, 11, and 12, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the other side of the coin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's regeneration. And so if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in need of being regenerated. Regeneration, the word of life. Now, I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to look at seven thoughts concerning regeneration, as we have here in John chapter 3. First of all, we're going to be looking at the message of regeneration. And in John chapter 3, the message was given, first of all, to a religious man. His name was Nicodemus. It says in John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. That name, Nicodemus, means to be hospitable, to lodge strangers. If you remember when Christ died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea came and asked for the body of Christ that he might bury it in his tomb. Well, he had some help when he came to get the body of Christ. And it was Nicodemus that came along with him. And there Nicodemus was fulfilling his name. Hospitable. Lodge strangers. In Acts chapter 23, verses 6 and verse 8, Paul was before the Sanhedrin and he said, he was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Acts 23:6. Acts 23:8 says, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one who believed in the resurrection of the dead. He was a religious man. There are a lot of religious people in the world that are not regenerated. I remember hearing a man give a message once when we were living in Canada. And it says, it talks about, well, good people go to hell. And there are going to be a lot of good people that are going to go to hell. They're good religious people. And they're probably in church every Sunday. They might be teaching Sunday school classes. They might be singing in the choir. But they miss the most important thing about life, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're acting like they're regenerated, but they haven't been. Well, Nicodemus was a religious man, but he was lost. He was a scholarly man. It says here he was a ruler of the Jews, a Jewish religious leader. He was well versed in the law. He knew the law of Moses. And yet, He hadn't allowed the law to do what God intended it to do. God intended the law to crowd men to Christ. And in his life, that hadn't happened. He was a sincere man. Again, there are a lot of sincere people. But a lot of them are sincerely wrong. It says in verse 2 of John 3, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, this man was not trying to trick Jesus as the lawyer was when he said, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" He was sincerely seeking to know the Lord Jesus. He was sincerely seeking out the Lord that he might have peace in his heart. There were many of the religious leaders were so against Jesus, they were trying every way they could to get him and to have him put to death as he was ministering here on the earth. This man was sincere in his heart about the question that he asked. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." And then he talked about his miracles. He was a seeking man. He came to Jesus by night because he knew that God had sent Jesus. He came to the conclusion because of the miracles Jesus had done. And what we have recorded here in John, the only miracle up to this point that Jesus had done was turning the water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." So he was seeking answers to his questions. A seeking man. A religious man. A sincere man. But he was lost. In John 2, verse 24 and 25, it says, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man. For he knew what was in man, and Jesus knew what was in the heart of Nicodemus." He knew he was a seeking man. He knew he was searching for something. But he also knew that he needed regeneration. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, Samuel has come to Jesse's house and he's looking for a replacement for Saul, because God is going to remove Saul as king of Israel, and he's looking for a replacement there in Jesse's house. And one of Jesse's sons comes along, and big, strapping young man, and Samuel said, "This has got to be the one. He just looks like king material." And in verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord looketh on the heart. We come here together each Lord's Day, and I've shared this when we come to the first service, when we come to remember the Lord, and you know, we can say certain things and we can sing certain songs, and all of us, all we can see is what's on the outside. But God knows whether you're really worshiping or not. He knows whether your heart's really in an attitude of worship, or whether there's sin that's standing between you and Him. The message of regeneration was given to a religious, scholarly, sincere, and seeking man. But he had a responsibility. He would have to believe, he would have to accept by faith that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world, that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The message of regeneration, the meaning of regeneration, we see in verse 3, it was to be born again, a second birth. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Just like there was a starting point for your physical birth, and you didn't have any control over that, and you didn't have any control over the family that you would be born in, or when you would be born. But you do have over your spiritual birth. You have to make a choice. As we shared with the campers the last 2 weeks, we shared the words that we see in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I was standing there with my gold coat, and I told those campers, I said, I don't want to give this coat up. And they said, don't give it up, don't give it up. But I said, you know, all these nice things, and I had a ring on that was supposed to be Pharaoh's ring that he gave me, and I had a gold necklace on. And like I told him, I said, you know, it's not what's on the outside. It's not how you dress. It's not whether you've got the brand name clothes or not, or the brand shoes or not, or how much you've spent on your wardrobe. What's important is what's in the heart. And the Lord said, you must be born again. You must have a second birth in order to go to heaven. And then he tells him he has to be born from above. It has to be a supernatural birth. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I know some of you have other translations, and you don't have the word quicken in your translation, but I've told you before what Stuart Briscoe said, that there were two types of pedestrians in England, the quick and the dead. And you get the point, quick means living. We can say that in a lot of cities here in the United States, can't we? There's a quick and the dead pedestrian. There has to be a supernatural birth, born from above. Born again, born from above. And then there has to be a spiritual birth. We're born by the Spirit, born into a spiritual kingdom. It says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by your works, it's not by your self-effort. It's by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's the regeneration. The cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God condemned sin in the flesh. And sin had to be dealt with. And we've said this before, and looking at some of these other words, God did not let the sinner off. He didn't just brush our sins under the carpet and never remember them again. God is a just God, and justice had to be served. And God said, the wages of sin is death. The great thing for us is that God's Son said He was willing to take our place. That He was willing to take our sins, the burden of our sins upon Himself. And He died in our place. He was on death row in our place. And He went to that cross and took our punishment. And when you look at what the Lord Jesus Christ went through, the whipping with the cat of nine tails, the crown of thorns pressed down upon His head, the mockery, the nails in His hands and in His feet, and a spear in His side. You get the picture of what God thinks of our sin. And how much man needs to be regenerated. And when you have been regenerated, then you can say those words in Romans chapter 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. So, the message of regeneration, the meaning of regeneration, and then we see with Nicodemus, he had a misunderstanding of regeneration. First of all, and this is in verses 4 and verse 9, it was because of his natural wisdom, his worldly wisdom. He was looking at the cross. He was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ through this worldly wisdom. John 3 and verse 4 says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, this was a man who was well-versed in the law. This was a smart man. Now, my daughters do not allow their children to say this word, but he was pretty stupid to think, to even ask that question. How can a man be born again? Does he enter back into his mother's womb again and be born? A grown man asking a question like that? He didn't understand the supernatural. Because of his natural wisdom, he had this misunderstanding of regeneration. And because of his spiritual blindness, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? In verse 9. How can these things be? He was spiritually blind. Even though the reason he came to Jesus was because he'd heard of the miracles that he'd done. And the reason he came to Jesus, he said, because I know you're a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do unless God is sent him. And then he's saying, how can these things be? If you'll notice verse 8 of chapter 3 there of John, the Lord said this, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, when a storm's coming and we look out and say, boy, that wind's really blowing. We don't see the wind. We see the result of the wind. And when a person becomes regenerated, we see the results of that regeneration. When we were coming back from Kentucky, we were listening to a CD that Brenna and Scott had given us on John Newton. And Zachary was really listening. He was really taking this in. He was sitting there in the middle of between Loretta and I, and he was really taking it in. But there's it told about John Newton when he came to know the Lord. I mean, this man had gone to the very depths. He'd been a slave to slaves. And he was a slave trader. And when he was converted, he continued to go out on these slave ships to bring slaves over to the United States. You see, his idea of a slave was that they were property. They weren't human beings. And I mean, he was continuing on with a life of fornication with these slave women, even after his conversion. But he finally came to the realization that this was wrong, that this was not pleasing to God, that these people were not property. To the point that he was completely turned against slavery and was encouraging others to stand up against it. Even though he had been regenerated, he looked like a degenerate. And you see, that's what some may be sitting right here. Because of your thought life, because of the things that you're allowing your eyes to take in, because of the things that you're reading or the things that you're listening to, the filth that you might be listening to in this world. You might be saved and you might be regenerated, but you look like a degenerate because of that. I said this the last time when I was talking, it was on Father's Day, and I was talking about fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me tell you, I already said clothes are not important, how valuable they are and all that, but it is important to be presentable and not to look like a streetwalker. Not to look like a degenerate if you have the Lord Jesus Christ living within your heart. You see, every minute of every day, we are representing Him. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so what comes out of my mouth, the places that I go, the clothes that I wear, are all to be representative of Him. And if you've got a question about the clothes that you're wearing, you shouldn't wear it. Because you've already answered your question. If you've got a question about it, whether it's going to be offensive or not. So, there was this misunderstanding of regeneration because of his natural wisdom and because of his spiritual blindness. And then there's the miracle of regeneration. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Now, Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 7. And he talked about the struggle that he was going through as a believer, as a regenerated man. The things that I do not want to do, that's the things I do. And the things that I know I should do, that's the things I'm not doing. And he came to the end of that chapter and said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The object lesson that Paul was using there was one of the punishments that the Romans gave for somebody who committed murder. They would bind the dead body, the body that that person had killed, to the body of the one who killed them. And they bound them face to face. You had to walk around looking at that body you killed. And the rotting flesh of that dead body would eventually rot your flesh. A slow death. A torturous death. And so when Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He was talking about that old nature. Because even though you've become regenerated, you still got that old dead body you're carrying around with you. And many times that old dead body wants to rear up its head and take over and take control. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen to 2 Peter 1:4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The message of regeneration, the meaning of regeneration, the misunderstanding of generation, the miracle of regeneration, and then 5 is the mystery of regeneration. Verses 7 and 8. And it's a mystery because its operation cannot be ultimately understood by the human mind. We can't understand it. We cannot figure it out. You know, verses I really like to quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Leaning to your understanding, and being wise in your own eyes. Regeneration is a mystery to those who are living in the flesh. It says in verse 7 and 8, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." You cannot see the Holy Spirit. There's not a one of you sitting here that's ever seen Jesus Christ face to face. But we've heard about him in God's Word. And I was sharing last night over at Robbie's, and as I shared at camp about Joseph, he was a 17-year-old that was taken away from his father at 17. And didn't see his father again till he was 39 years old. And yet his life, he lived a life, an exemplary life, even though he was a slave. He was thrown in prison for false accusations. He was forgotten by those who he had helped, left in prison for 2 more years. He didn't have the Bible to go to. He couldn't read about Joseph. He had none of the Bible to go to. It was only what he'd been taught in his home. And he came from a dysfunctional family. His father had 4 wives. And they were all at each other. And he had all these stepbrothers. And they were all at each other. And they hated him because they knew their father loved him. But he stood for the Lord. He didn't compromise with the world. He did not lean to his own understanding. But he trusted the Lord through it all. He couldn't see God, but he believed the dream he had at 17 that his brothers and his father would someday bow down to him. And he didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew God gave him that dream. And so there in Potiphar's house as a slave, as a servant, there in that prison, in the dungeon of Pharaoh's prison, he kept trusting God because he knew he was going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. He was going to make it through. The mystery of regeneration. And then the means of regeneration. It's not a human descent, human desire, or human design. Look at what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 13. John chapter 1 and verse 13. Verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." But it says here, "Which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Born of God. It's not by man. It's not by man's power. It's of God. John 3:5 says, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Water and of the Spirit. William MacDonald says this concerning that those words, water and the Spirit. The word translated "and" could just as correctly have been translated "even." Thus the verse would read, "Unless one is born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You know, when the Lord really wants to emphasize something, He says it more than once. So He said, water, which represents the Spirit, and the Spirit. A man has to be born of the Spirit. Now, there are baptismal regenerationists that would take that and say, you've got to be baptized to have your sins cleansed. I heard a man last night that said they had two sacraments. It was baptism and the Lord's Supper. And in both of those sacraments, when you practice them, your sins were washed away. You were cleansed by practicing that. Well, that's not true. That's a lie of the devil for anybody to think. Because if you can do that, then we have a work salvation. And all you got to do is do those good works. Remember the Lord and be baptized and you'll have your sins cleansed. That's not what the Word of God says. They have to be born of the Spirit of God living within. So there has to be born of the Spirit, and then the means of regeneration is also the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In James 1:18, of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And then it says in Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11, the question is asked, wherewithal? How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the means of regeneration is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and by the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it says it in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There are a lot of religions in the world that believe in a dead Savior. But none of those religions have a living Savior. Only Christianity. Only Christianity can boast that our Savior arose from the dead. The resurrection. So the means of regeneration, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the last one is the manifestation of regeneration. The family resemblance. Listen to what it says in 1 John 1:5-7. This is a message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, the family resemblance. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then, family responsibilities. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And it says in Romans 13 and verse 14, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, being clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's family resemblance, there's family responsibilities, and there's family resources. Galatians 2:20. Paul was saying there, I identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And it says in Romans 8:11, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The manifestation of regeneration, family resemblance, family responsibility, family resources. It says in Romans 8:37, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In Ephesians 6:10-11, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to put on the armor of God. We have a responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to act like we're regenerated and not to act like a degenerate. We started out each chapel at camp with Romans 8:28. And we ended each chapel with Philippians 4:8. And Philippians 4:8 says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's God's encouragement to each one of us. That's how we are to act, like we are regenerated. And again, I say, if you're here today and you haven't been regenerated, this could be your spiritual birthday. And you can invite Jesus Christ into your life. And if you need help in doing this, or you need to ask some questions like Nicodemus asked some questions, feel free to do it. And I won't tell you that your questions are stupid questions if you ask them. I just said it was for him. He was supposed to know him better. Okay. The message of regeneration was given to a religious man. The meaning of regeneration, the misunderstanding of regeneration, the miracle of regeneration, the mystery of regeneration, the means of regeneration, and the manifestation of regeneration. Regeneration, the word of life. And I hope everybody here is regenerated. But if you're not, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the regenerating business. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had of gathering today. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to gather like this and to open your word and not be told what we can talk about. We thank you for regeneration. We thank you that you've given us what we need in order that we might live a life that honors and glorifies you. And Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to name the name of Christ, to act like born-again believers. and help us to carry that message to others. We pray your blessings upon our week. We pray for Wayne as he speaks there at camp this week, and then we pray for Camp Jubilee that's coming up on August the 6th, that you would just be even now preparing the hearts of the campers and counselors, and we pray that in all of this that Jesus Christ would be exalted. We just ask that you watch over us now as we go our separate ways, and guide and direct us in all that we do throughout this week. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.